man, although my flesh decayeth, even with my own eyes shall I see God. He will take his stand upon the earth on the last day. And the prophet Daniel, Daniel Hanavi, said there will be a resurrection, some to judgment, and some to glory and blessing. There's somebody who's the primary writer of a book called Habrit Chadasha, the New Testament. Most people know him as St. Paul the Apostle. But in fact, in his own day, he was called Rabbi Shaul of Tarsus. And as some of us know, he was a disciple of a very famous rabbi called Rabbi Gamaliel. Rabbi Gamaliel in Jerusalem. This Rabbi Gamaliel is very important in Judaism. The Talmud says he was such a great and holy rabbi that when he died, righteousness perished from the earth. Now the book of Acts, which in Hebrew we call Ma'aseh HaShlichim, what the apostles did, we read about Rabbi Gamaliel. And this famous Rabbi Gamaliel, he said that if Jesus is not the Messiah, if Yeshua is not the Messiah of the Jews, then the faith of Christians would perish. There were many false messiahs and many people claiming to be the Mashiach. They all came and went, they established movements, but they all disappeared. And Rabbi Gamaliel tells us in the book of Acts that if Jesus is not the Messiah, Christianity would disappear. But it didn't disappear. Now this Rabbi Gamaliel, he was the grandson of another very famous rabbi called Rabbi Hillel. There were two kinds of Pharisees. Those who studied in the yeshiva of Rabbi Gamaliel were in what is known as the school of Hillel. The other was the school of Shammai. Now, in this school of Hillel, which was being run in St. Paul's time by Rabbi Gamaliel, there were a number of very famous classmates. One classmate was someone called Anklios, Rabbi Anklios. He did a translation of the Old Testament from Hebrew into Aramaic called the Targum. Targum Anklios. It's very important in Judaism. But then there were two other classmates. One was called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. After the temple was destroyed, it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who began Rabbinic Judaism and replaced the temple with the synagogue. You see, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew he had a problem. His problem was this, that Daniel, the prophet, said the Messiah would have to come and die before the second temple would be destroyed. And we read about this in the Talmud. The Sanhedrin wept and said, Oy vavoy lanu, woe to us, for the temple is destroyed, but where is the Messiah? Now every Jewish person knows that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, which Yeshua, Jesus, predicted would happen. In Matthew 24 and Luke 21, the Olivet Discourse. So whoever the Messiah was, he had to come and die before 70 AD. Not only that, but according to Isaiah, Ishael Hanavi, he had to cause the Gentiles to believe in the Jewish God. Not only that, but according to Mika Hanavi, he had to be born in Bethlehem. And the Talmud goes on and on and explains this. And each one of these places confirms that these prophecies are talking of the Messiah. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what he did was, he said, we have a problem. The Jewish religion, as Moses gave it to us, can't be practiced anymore because there's no more temple. We have to make another religion. So that's what they did. Tragically and unfortunately, about 300 years later, someone came named Constantine came along and did the same thing with Christianity. Instead of having the Christianity that Yeshua and the apostles taught and gave, which was a Jewish Christianity, they paganized it. and Gentilized it and Hellenized it. And they basically made another religion to replace the original faith of the Gospels. So what you had was a Christianity that was no longer biblical, which became things like Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. And you had a Judaism which was no longer biblical. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had another classmate, and that was the person we call Rabbi Shaul of Tarsus. Paul the Apostle. Somebody who hated Christianity, hated Christians, and persecuted them until he was miraculously saved by God. And God revealed to him. And he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Yeshua, the Messiah who you are persecuting." Open with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In Hebrew, we call it Ha'igeret HaRishon Shel Paulus LaHakarintim. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And like Daniel, he begins talking about the resurrection in verse 42. If you don't have a Bible, take a look to the person next to you. And if the person next to you doesn't have a Bible, you share your Bible with the person next to you. And this is what he says, beginning in verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, and it is raised an imperishable body. Someday our bodies are going to be sown into the earth, or cremated, or whatever. But it will come out something different. It's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power, just like the body of Yeshua. It's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, so there is a spiritual one." Now watch this in verse 45. "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so are those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." Two Adams. As far as God is concerned, there's only two men who have ever existed. Adam and Yeshua. The first Adam and the second Adam. Everybody is either part of the first Adam or they're part of the second Adam. Adam and Yeshua were both created by Hashem, by God, directly and personally. And they were both created without sin. They did not have a fallen nature. Now, the first Adam was tempted. And as King David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." The same as you genetically pass on your physical traits to your offspring, so sin is transmitted. We have a fallen nature. That's the first Adam. We're all born of the first Adam. But then there is the second Adam. In order to live forever, in order to escape the judgment of God, in order not to pay the price for our own sins, we have to be born of the second Adam. What Rabbi Shaul of Tarsus is doing here is something called Midrash. It's the way Jewish people interpreted the scripture. Again, he was a disciple of Rabbi Gamaliel. And we have seven rules of interpreting the Bible that came from Rabbi Gamaliel. The first rule is called Kal Vahomer. It literally means light to heavy. Something that applies in a general situation applies in a specific situation. Or if something is true in a light situation, it is true in a heavy situation. The second rule is called Binyan Ab Meshtei Ketubim, building a theological argument from two passages. What Rabbi Saul of Tarsus is doing is taking those two midot, these rules are called midot of Rabbi Hillel, that he learned from Rabbi Hillel, and he's interpreting Adam. Let's look at this idea of the two Adams, a midrashic view of Adam. Turn with me to Breshit. In Hebrew we call Genesis Breshit. It means in the beginning. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw, now pay attention, that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate it, and gave it also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves loin coverings. We've got to understand what's happening here. The serpent is a seducer. It's Satan's nature as a seducer. The serpent was already in the garden. We call him in Hebrew Hanahash. He was already in the garden. But when God created Hava and Adam, Adam and Eve, he told them to subdue the earth. The world had not fallen yet, but Satan was somehow on the loose and had to be subdued. Adam and Eve were to subdue it. So they were to know that evil existed, but they were not to know it in themselves as part of their own nature. They were not supposed to try to become God, establishing a law to themselves. God did make a way for us to be like God. That was eating of the tree of life, Yeshua. These two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, were together. If you had a little baby, and the little baby was perfectly healthy, it's a healthy little baby boy or little baby girl, a few days old, that's good. There's nothing wrong with the baby, but the baby is not perfected yet. The baby has to grow up to be perfected. The baby has no imperfections, but it's not perfected yet. That's the way that Adam and Eve were. They had nothing wrong with them. They had no imperfections, but they were not perfected yet. The way they were to be perfected was to eat of the tree of life and live forever as God's children and take on God's nature. But instead, they chose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and try to become a god themselves, independent of God, which is what Satan did even before the creation. So he seduces them to do what he did, to try to become their own god. Now the very things that they wanted, God was going to give them anyway. Dominion, power, life, he was going to give that to them anyway. But without sin. So the first Adam and the first Eve, they totally, as Americans say, they blow it. Now this whole thing is a symbol. Remember, Jesus is the second Adam. Adam is the symbol of Yeshua, Jesus, and Eve is a symbol of Israel and by extension of the church. The serpent will always try to attack Yeshua through his woman, through the church. You see what I mean? Always. Through Israel. But the first Adam blows it. And how does it happen? Verse 6. The tree was good for food. Thank you. She saw the tree was good for food. It was a delight to the eyes. It was desirable to make one wise. You shall be like God. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Not the Gospel of John, the Epistle of John. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Remember, the tree of knowledge of good and evil has to do with the world. The Greek word was cosmos. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. For all that is in the world, now look at it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. She sees it's good for food. She sees it. You can be like God. That's it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That's what happens to the first Adam. And that's what's happened to every Adam and every Eve since. You see, there was a literal Adam and there was a literal Eve. But they're also symbols. Adam's a symbol of Yeshua. Eve is a symbol of Israel and of the church. But they're also figures of us. If Hashem had created Yaakov and Pavia, or John and Marguerite instead of Adam and Eve, we would have done the same thing that Adam and Eve did. They're symbols of us. So the first Adam blows it. And as a result, all of us have followed in his footsteps because it's our nature. That's our Adamic nature. The nature of the flesh. That's why flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. It's fallen. So there has to be a second Adam to undo the mistake of the first Adam. And that's what Hashem promises. Look at verse 15 of Genesis 3. Bereshit Perek Gimel Psuk Hameshesreh. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Now, the seed, the rabbis tell us, the seed of the woman is the Messiah. And he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The Messiah would be bruised on the heel. The serpent would slay him, but he would raise from the dead. But the Messiah then would crush the serpent's head and destroy the serpent. Now be careful of the kingdom now, people, the dominionists. I read a dominionist theologian, Kevin Connor, in his book, and he says the church will be triumphant, the church will be victorious, the church will destroy the serpent's head. That's not what it says. It's not the woman who destroys the serpent's head. It's the seed of the woman. It's the Messiah. Kingdom now theology is another trick of the devil to make us think we can be like God. It's called Gnosticism. It's the whole seduction. It's totally false. Many sincere Christians involved in it, but it's very dangerous and it's very false. It's not the woman who crushes the head, it's the seed. Now, where does Paul get this second Adam stuff? He does it with Midrash. Look at Mark chapter 1. Now in Genesis 2:19, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. You see that in Genesis 2:19, Adam was alone with all these animals, right? He was alone with all these animals. Now look at Mark chapter 1. verse 12 of Mark 1, and immediately the Spirit impelled Yeshua to go into the wilderness. Right? And he was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. And this goes on. And it says that he was with the wild beasts in verse 13. This is Midrash. Binyan ad mishtei ketubim. You build a theological argument from two texts. What Mark chapter 1 does is repaints the picture of Genesis. So the first Adam is alone with the animals. But now the second Adam is alone with the animals. But what happens with the first Adam? The lust of the flesh is good for food. The lust of the eyes, do you see it? And the pride of life, you can be boss. What does Satan try on Yeshua? You see the bread? You see these stones? If you go into the wilderness of Judah, east of Jerusalem, they have these rocks that are round. But in Israel, we have these kinds of bread called shipunim, a shipun. And these stones look just like shipunim. They look like loaves of bread. You're hungry? And you see how good it looks? I'll tell you, you know, if you ever go on a 7-day fast or something, and you finish your fast, McDonald's might be junk food, but if it's the only thing open, it may as well be a gourmet restaurant. Right? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then what does Satan do? Takes him to a mountain. He says, you see all these kingdoms? They can be yours. You can be like God. Pride of life. The same things that Satan does to the first Adam, he does to the second Adam. The only thing is, he's able to trick the first Adam. And as a result, we're all born with the fallen nature. But it doesn't work on the second Adam. The second Adam, he doesn't give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the boastful pride of life. Now understand this about Yeshua. He was God who became a man. Isaiah is clear. The Messiah would be God who would become a man. Unto us a son is born. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Yoetz Peli, Avi Ad, Sar Shalom. Yeshua could have done any of those miracles. The thing is, Yeshua only did what he saw his Father doing. Jesus did not walk on the Sea of Galilee because he was God. He could have, but he didn't. He didn't feed the 5,000 because he was God. He could have, but he didn't. He only did what he saw his Father doing. He only did what the Holy Spirit did through him. Philippians chapter 1. Not counting equality with God as something we could grasp with our mortal minds, he takes the form of a servant. He limits himself to the same limits on us. So, the first Adam totally blows it. But now the second Adam is in the same place. The Spirit drives him into a place where he's alone with the animals. And along comes the serpent. And the first thing he tries is the lust of the flesh. But that doesn't work. Then he tries the lust of the eyes. But that doesn't work. And then he tries the pride. You can have all these kingdoms. That doesn't work. Notice that Yeshua never questioned Satan's authority. When Satan said, all these are given into my hand, Jesus didn't question it. God gave dominion over the earth to man, and we gave it to the devil. Jesus never questioned Satan's authority. But the Bible says the second Adam came that the works of Satan will be destroyed. He's going to take it back and give it back to us. to those who accept him as the Messiah. But that's what happened. You see, most Christians, born again Christians, they think Jesus won the victory on the cross and in the resurrection. That's true. But if he didn't go into the wilderness and put himself in the same situation as the first Adam and overcome the trial and temptation that the first Adam fell into, he wouldn't have been qualified to go to the cross. He first had to go back and undo the damage that Adam did before he could go to the cross and pay the price for our sins, to be our kapora. Kapora. So Hashem, one person without sin is worth more than all the people with sin. That's why the Seh Pesach, the Passover lamb, had to be a lamb without blemish. To God, one without sin is worth more than all the ones with sin. The problem is, because we're all part of the first Adam, we all have Adam's sin. But the second Adam, he didn't have that sin. He could go and pay the price for our sins. When Yeshua went to the cross, he paid the price for what I did. Now, if the first Adam can get us in such a mess, not that I'm blaming him, we would have done the same thing. This is Kal Vahomer. How much more can the second Adam get us out of it? You're either in Adam or the second Adam. You're either part of the fallen race that you're born into, or you're part of the saved race that you're born again into. Now, we're all born from Adam, Jew and Gentile. Adam fell. Adam blew it. We all have it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. It's in our fallen nature. It's in the nature of Adam and of Eve. That's why we need a new nature. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. Verse 53. For this perishable must put on the imperishable. This first Adam got to be getting rid of and put on the second Adam. But when this perishable, this first Adam, will have put on the second Adam, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written. And this, of course, comes from us, from Isaiah and from Hosea. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? God actually mocks death. He calls death an enemy, and he mocks it, because Yeshua, the second Adam, overcame it. The first Adam fell into it, but the second Adam overcame it. So Hashem gives us a choice. You want to be part of the first Adam, or do you want to be part of the second Adam? Do you want to be part of the Adam that's going to perish, or do you want to be a part of the second Adam that's going to live forever in happiness, sharing God's glory, sharing His love and His bounty and His blessing forever? Do you want to be someone who has nothing to look forward to but the grave, or do you want to be someone whose life begins at the grave? Do you want to live your life in fear of death? The Bible says directly, it's appointed to man once to die, and after this to judgment. And we're all guilty. We're all guilty. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the founder of Rabbinic Judaism, the founder, before Rabbi Akiva, was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When he was on his deathbed, He was called the Mighty Hammer by his disciples, and they came to him in his yeshiva, and they said, "Oh, Mighty Hammer, why are you weeping?" And he said, "I'm about to meet Hashem, blessed be His name. And before me there are two roads, one leading to judgment, to destruction, to Gehenna, and the other leading to paradise. And I do not know to which of these two roads Hashem will sentence me." Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai admitted he had no assurance of salvation on his deathbed. That's in the Talmud. But his classmate, Rabbi Shaul of Tarsus, when he was on his deathbed, he said, "Trouble me no further. I've run the good race, I have fought the good fight, and I know there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness." Every Jew is going to follow one of these two rabbis. One who had nothing to live for but fear of death, fear of standing before a holy God before whom he knew he was guilty. And the other, who also knew he was just as guilty, but the Messiah paid the price for his sins. The first Adam or the second? If you're born, you're part of the first Adam. The first Adam will perish and go to judgment. We will give account for all of our sins. But if you're born again, you can escape what we call in Hebrew, Haron Yah, the wrath of Yahweh, the wrath to come. Save yourself from this perverse generation. There is a grave out there waiting for every one of us. There's a grave waiting for every one of us. Do you want to live your life in fear of that grave and what's going to happen after you go in it? Or do you want to live your life mocking that grave because of what's going to happen when you come out of it? You want to follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was crying in terror on his deathbed? Or do you want to follow Rabbi Shaul of Tarsus, his classmate, who said, "I have a crown of glory"? Do you want to be part of the first Adam? Or do you want to be part of the second Adam? Do you want to perish? Or do you want to have eternal life in God's kingdom? That is God's offer. That is God's offer. If you're somebody, Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter, and you've never accepted Yeshua as your Messiah, it's very simple. These are our children. These are John's children. This is my son, Eliami, a Sabra from Israel. And twins, Sarah and Amy, are running around, and this little girl is here. We love our children so much. There is nothing we wouldn't do for our children. I have a daughter, Batmiel, also a Sabra from Israel. And she had a fever, and I stayed up all night monitoring her temperature because she's my daughter. If God forbid something was to happen to our children and they had some disease, there is nothing we wouldn't do to see that child's life saved, like this little girl who's going back to America named baby little Laura. They're collecting all this money in America and in Britain for a next operation. There's nothing you wouldn't do to save the life of your child. That kind of love that you have for your own child, God created that kind of love to teach us how much He loves us. And there's nothing He wouldn't do to save us. But we all have this terrible disease that's killing us, that's going to put us into eternal hell. That disease is called sin. God has one remedy. He said, "Mankind has failed because of Adam. But I'm going to raise up a nation called Israel. And through this nation Israel, and through these people, the Jews, I'm going to give my word. And I'm going to send my Messiah. And He's going to save mankind and take them back to me." Unfortunately, most of us don't want to come back. Most of us are following the serpent. Most of us prefer living in fear of the grave instead of living in triumph over it. But God gives a choice. When the Messiah, who had no sin, was nailed by the Romans to the cross, betrayed by the religious establishment of his own people, God knew that would happen. He paid the price for my sin and for your sin. Every wrong thing we ever did, He paid the price for. The price has been paid. If someone offered you a 3-week holiday in Hawaii and they said it's going to cost you £10,000 first class, you say, I can't spend £10,000, but you say it's already been paid. Here it is. It's been paid. The cure for the disease is already there. Yeshua was nailed to the cross for your sins and for mine. But what do we have to do? We have to realize that like Adam, we're all separated from God because of our sin. We've all rebelled against Him. We've rejected His love. Secondly, we have to ask Him to come into us and make us part of the second Adam. It's called being born again. He puts a new spirit inside of us and makes us His children. Our old nature, the first Adam, is nailed to the cross with Yeshua by faith. And just as He rose from the dead, we raise with Him. That's what happens. You can accept Yeshua, the Messiah, right now. What God wants you to do is to ask Him to forgive your sins and to give your life to Him. Now, after you do that, God will begin to change you and make you a new person. He wants you to meet with other believers. He wants you to pray and talk to Him. He wants you to read His Word and live by it. And He'll show you how to live by it. And He wants you to tell other people about what He's done for you. But what you have to do tonight is make a choice. Do you want to be part of the first Adam or part of the second Adam? Do you want to live in fear of the grave, or do you want to live in triumph over it? Do you want the Messiah? Now, if you want the Messiah, you just say these words. You say these words to God, not to me, you say them to God. Yeshua said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst." You just say these words, and then afterwards you stay, you talk to John or myself, and we'll be happy to stay here and talk to you. But if you say this prayer and you mean it, you come and tell us. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I know that You love me. I know that I have not loved You, that I have done many evil things against You and against others, that I don't want to be the way I am, but I am the way I am. And I know You love me anyway. But because You love me, You hate what I am. You hate what I do. I thank You that You sent Your Son, the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, to pay the price. Please, Lord God, make me born again. Come inside of me, Yeshua. Come inside of me, Jesus. Pay the price for my sin. I accept You as the ruler of my life spiritually. You be the spiritual ruler of my life. Come inside of me and forgive my sins. Wash me with Your blood and make me Your child. Lord God, I ask You to save me in the name of Your Son, the Messiah. Come inside of me, Yeshua. Come inside of me now and make me God's child. If you've said that, it happened. You come and tell us. Now, if you're somebody who is backslidden, who knew God, who knew His love, but has fallen away, He wants you back. You see, you can never meet Yeshua and go back to be the person you were before you were saved. You can never go back. There's nothing more miserable than a backslider, because they know the truth. they can never go back to what they were. God should be using you to reach other people from this wicked world. Come back to Him. Come back to Him now. Just say, Jesus, I'm sorry, forgive me, take me back, and He'll do it. Now, if you've said either of those prayers, you just come and tell us. It's very simple. You're either in the first Adam or the second. Sean is going to sing some Hebrew songs now. But before that, we'll just have the benediction. Then the Lord spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you peace. So they shall invoke My name upon the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them. Yivrecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Yer Adonai panav elecha v'yechunecha. Yisam Adonai panav elecha v'yaseh lecha. Shalom. Shalom.